cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Another long holiday weekend is over, and you regale us with tales of woe. You did too much yard work, too many projects, too much running around, but you didn't get enough rest.
Gee, you never worked that hard around here.
Really, man, we don't care.
And need a break from your whining, yeah.
So the next time the martyr of the mini-vacation shows up late and says, I need another long weekend to recover from my long weekend, don't strangle. Instead, salute Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor, a real American hero.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
No, it's not Friday yet, you slacker.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, in case you thought it was Monday today. September 7th. Welcome to the studio after a big Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day! Woo!
And you're back in the studio. You're in a good mood, which is good.
You know, I'm always in a good mood. Pretty much.
Pretty much, huh?
I mean, I can even have like crazy breakdown moments. I'm like, why is it happening for me yet? And I'm still happy.
Yeah, well, that's good. You see, you got
whatever that means.
Yeah, you got a good disposition and you've got good genes, so... There you go. You see?
Yeah. So how was your Labor Day? What'd you do?
Labor Day weekend. Well, I sat around mostly, which is what I do all the time.
Staycation? Did you have a staycation?
But no, I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, we worked a little bit, but for the most part, it was kind of quiet.
Did you get some good eating in?
Good eating. Yeah, I guess I did. Yeah, we went to a restaurant the other night, had some Israeli food, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
too amazing, though?
Other than that, I'm healthy and well, and everything's good.
That's good.
We had pretty good weather, too, this weekend.
We had really good weather.
Right?
We sound like old people. We're talking about what we ate and the weather.
Yeah.
But
well,
I love food, though.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know that you had a good time. Well, I had kind of a raw deal.
You did?
I apparently had this pizza, this amazing pizza. Oh, my gosh. It's so good, but I think we left it out too long before we put it in the fridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was like, it's so good. It's called Meat Lover's Pizza. It's like, mm-hmm. It's so good, and it's deep dish. Oh, it's so good. Anyway,
how many meats does it have? Sausage, pepperoni,
sausage,
what else?
Beef, pepperoni, salami. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Like, you know, caribou, whatever. They just... You know, anyway, but anyway, we left it out, I guess, too long, and I ate a piece two nights ago before I went to bed. Like, I just got home late and had, like, I didn't even have a lot. I had, like, half of a piece, you know?
Yeah.
You know, real healthy. And
so the cheese was probably bad by then.
Something was, let me tell you, all of it, all of it was wrong at that point. All of it was wrong. I woke up at 3 a.m., and I didn't know what happened, but I had a pounding headache, and I went in the living room and I was like, I just need some water. So I drank a bunch of water.
Uh-huh.
And then I start feeling hot, like I got some heat going on. Like something ain't right here, people. Something's not right. You know, you're still kind of sleeping and you're like, I'm not ready to get sick right now. I'm in the middle of a sleep. Anyway, I go to the bathroom.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I go to the bathroom and I totally just, you know, upchuck everywhere. It was awful. And it was disgusting. I'm sorry I had to tell you that. But then, you know, when you're sick, but you still, now you have to clean up your mess and you're sick.
Oh, God.
You're like, I feel like I'm dying. Anyway, let me get to cut to the chase. It was so bad. I was shaking, shivering, throwing up on myself. And then I couldn't throw up anymore, but your body still wants to throw up.
Right.
And you kind of feel like, this is it. This is how I'm going. I'm dead. I'm dying.
Yeah, a little extreme there.
No, but you feel, but think about it. We feel normal all the time. You walk around, you don't feel sick, you feel great. And then finally something happens and your body goes into a state that you barely ever remember it being. And you're like, this is it. I'm going. I'm leaving this place due to bad pizza.
Yeah,
that's gonna be my tombstone. Honey wants a tombstone.
Yeah, she had a bad pizza.
Bad pizza, man. But that was just ridiculous. But then the next day you feel a little weak, but you feel good. It's just like, it makes me really empathize. Not that I could even empathize, but it makes me have a lot of compassion for people that do chemotherapy or radiation or people that consistently live in that state.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I can't imagine it. I mean, this is one night, and I felt like I was dying. Mm. And I can't imagine if I had to do that, like, for months on end to get through treatments.
Right.
You know?
I know.
Do you know people that have had to go through chemo or radiation?
I do right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2-year-old girl.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
A 2-year-old?
Yeah, she's got a tumor. Yeah. Well, we wish her the best. I don't want to talk about it because it's pretty depressing when you think about it. You know, kid is like that.
Yeah.
And they have to go through therapy, I mean, chemotherapy, and they don't understand what's going on. And, you know, they lose their hair and they have all these tubes in them, and it's pretty depressing. You know?
Wow.
So, yeah, but other than that, I haven't really known anyone who had cancer or died from cancer.
Man, God bless. We'll say a prayer for her. Lord bless her. God be with her.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, it's a new Jewish year tomorrow. So
oh, is it?
Hopefully, yeah.
You do anything Jewish-y?
She'll have Jewish-y, it gets as Jewish-y as getting together. Actually, Jewy is probably the way
okay.
to do it, right?
Jewy, does it get Jewy-ish?
Are you doing anything Jewy?
Well,
we are getting together for a feast.
For a feast,
for
yeah.
A feast.
What kind of feast? Like
all kinds of food and stuff, but there's a lot of like honey on the table to make it a sweet year, you know?
Oh, okay.
Things like that. Everything in Judaism has to symbolize something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's not like a Seder, though. It's not like a Seder.
No, it's
okay.
not. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going to a feast, and where was my invitation? Thank you.
Invitation?
I'm not a Jewishy enough. No, I probably wait.
You're a shiksa. That's what you are.
I'm a shiksa?
Shiksa. Shiksa, that's in Yiddish for a girl that's not Jewish.
Oh, okay. I thought I was goy.
Well, that too.
Yeah. That means Gentile, right?
Right.
I used to live in Jewish community. I know about it.
Yeah, you know about it.
Yeah,
huh?
Hardcore Jewish community. Not like Sam, who's like, you know, he's just in the club barely.
Yeah.
No, we're talking like with the curls, the hats.
Really? That
yeah.
kind, huh?
Yeah, like Fairfax.
The ultra-Orthodox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very, very interesting to live around.
What'd you do among those people?
Well, you don't do much with them because they don't really want anything to do with you. I mean,
right.
That's the reality. You know that, though.
Yeah.
They probably don't want anything to do with you either, huh?
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, not bad people. No judgment on them. But they are very much an insular community. So
right.
It's cool to see how they take care of one another. They're very, obviously, community-based. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of discipline.
And, you know, they seem to be like the happiest people when you talk to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that vibe
at all.
I mean, I talked to some of them. No, it looks like to me, you know, this is just opinion. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But it looks like a very strenuous religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It doesn't look very joyful to me. It looks like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
A lot of family values, which I appreciate. But what I don't really like about it is that it seemingly looks, and this isn't just my opinion from what I've seen from other people, they take care of each other very well, but if you're outside of that, you're not part of their community, so they don't bestow that. Right. You know, and you could argue that with other people and
yeah,
et cetera.
Exactly.
You can,
I mean,
but
how many communities,
but it's interesting. Too. Yeah, but you know, there's Christian communities and there's people that aren't even in faiths that don't see that as a dividing line.
Right.
That they bestow that upon, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, if you're in that community, if you're not, you're kind of seen as like, you know, nothing really.
Right.
And you know that. I mean, I'm talking.
Well, maybe that's why they claim the Jews are cheap. I don't know. But I don't know any other community that just stands there and hands out money to everybody.
Well, I mean, I don't know anybody that does that, but I do know that there are communities both of faith and non-faith that are very, not just generous, but it's not just about money. It's about like aid or it's about, I mean, most of the charities are Christian charities. I mean,
right.
You know, so I
guess to hear. Yeah. Cool.
But I mean, there's even charities and stuff that aren't faith-based that are, you know, they just don't see it as a division. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well, okay.
Anyway, that's my
that's your take on it.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, though.
Yeah. Well, we have a guest in the studio, walked in right now, and
called out.
We have Mr. Combat Radio, Ethan Detmeyer himself. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Weren't you bringing someone with you this morning?
We're going to get him on the phone if we can.
Oh, I see.
If
okay.
not, you know, hey. But he's an interesting guy. Yeah. More, I know I'm a weak guest, so I had to bring in someone.
You're a very weak guest. I don't know why I invited you.
I was going to compliment you because I thought, oh, man. Look, see, whenever on Combat Radio someone's late, we call them out on the spot.
Do you?
We put them on double secret probation. And yeah. I'm walking in and nobody said anything about it. I'm like, wow, what a swab.
Yeah, I was
hosts.
Getting away with it.
No, Sam will call it out.
I'm going to actually make it up to your audience somewhat by giving them a eyewitness traffic report. The 405 is jammed. Three lanes
really?
Are shut down. 405 south just before Sherman Way. And it's raining.
Really?
Oh, is it raining?
In Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In the middle of summer, too. It was just so hot a couple days ago, and now it's raining. Well, it's cool. I like rain.
I
didn't even realize it was raining this morning.
Thank you for actually inviting me down.
Of course.
What
of
would
course.
You like to talk about?
I don't know. You tell us a little bit about the football player friend of yours.
Good friend of mine, Derek Ward. He actually was he was the running back group, Earth, Wind, and Fire on the Giants when they beat the undefeated New England Patriots in the Super Bowl a couple of years back.
Oh.
Went on to sign with the Bucks, just signed with the Texans, but he's really interesting. I mean, he's putting his production company together, and he's got a book coming out on his life. He witnessed the Reginald Denning beating.
Oh, really?
During the riots.
Yeah. Do you remember that? You weren't here at the time.
No. Are we
the riots
about
in L.A.
King?
Here? Yeah, the Rodney King thing.
No, you were probably only like, what?
Three.
Two, three at the time. Were you really?
What year was it?
I don't even.
When was it? Like the 90s?
94, 93. I don't
know. Was it?
I try to forget the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I was probably like, I know.
Actually, you're right. It was like 91, 92. Mm. I remember I had a business at the time, and I drove out to Hollywood one day. And a few stores were on fire.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple shops on fire. And
Sublime, you know the Sublime song about
which
it? He's like, da 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 da.
That tells me a lot.
Yeah,
that was worth interrupting the conversation.
Sorry, guys. But anyway, he's talking about the riots. He's talking about, like, it wasn't about Rodney King. It wasn't about race.
Yeah, but he's talking about there was Reginald Denny who was, like, he was pulled out of his truck, and then a helicopter camera captured that on tape. Where he was pulled out of his truck and people started beating him up. He was like in South Central.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They just beat the shit out of him. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The whole thing was.
And he was
news.
Like so completely. He was unarmed. He wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, he was
anything.
Innocent. He didn't do anything. So you're saying he was there at the time, Ethan?
Yeah, he was. He witnessed it. In fact, you know, his life is actually so interesting. This is one of the few people who can make the genuine crossover from sports and on a serious stage, Super Bowl. Champ to what he's getting into now with, you know, production companies. He's been offered his own radio show.
Really? Cool.
And his office is maybe moving on the lot not too far from me at Universal. I'm actually, I wanted to shoot him the station number because you know how pro athletes are. They're hypersensitive about who calls them. So it's 818.
It's 323.
Oh, it's 323.
Yeah, it's a different one in this studio. 323-203-0815. It's our studio number.
So he's actively on the Texans right now, is what you're
saying? Yeah, he just signed a one-year deal. Just turned 30 last Monday. He signed
a
one-year deal.
What's his position?
Running back.
Who are the Texans? That's not like NFL.
No, you don't understand. The Texans are from Texas, okay, Houston.
I would hope so.
And they're
with
like,
a name like that.
Let me tell you, but my man friend out there.
Houston Texans?
And they're called the Texans.
I thought it was the Oilers. Are they gone?
Yeah,
dude,
no,
that was like 50 years ago.
Come on.
But
now.
The Texas people are like into it. They are into it.
What, you said it was 203.
0815.
0815.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So that's interesting. So, I mean, where are you going to bring him in? And he changed his mind.
No, you know what? I was going to bring him in, and then he signed with the Texans.
Oh, I
see. And kept him out there.
So now he's too important.
Yeah. Well, he lives here in Studio City, and he wanted to come back, and he was released by the Bucks for salary cap reasons, as happens with a lot of veterans. And he was like, I'll be back Saturday. And then he texted me, and he actually texted me, I think, when I was at dinner with you.
Really? That
up
night?
At Samba. Yeah. Said, I just signed with the Texans.
Yeah.
They're going to keep me out here.
Really?
And
so he's in Texas now?
Yeah, he's in Texas.
Wow.
So I just shot him a note saying, heads up, we're going to be calling you. I mean, that's if you want to. He's much more interesting than I am.
I want to hear this. I know I've got a lot of friends listening that are, like, way into the Texans.
Yeehaw,
man. I'm not into football, but they are hardcore.
What seems to be your problem?
Well, maybe it's the fact that I wasn't a sports person. I was into theater, and I grew up in a small town in Texas. You can understand my rage, right?
Again, the question is, what's your problem? I don't understand. I mean, you can catch on to sports at any time in life, and football is our pastime. I don't care what baseball
fans listen, all I'm saying is men that like sports, sexy. I don't want to have to watch it, though. Mm. I'll go for some of the chips and dip and some wings.
Yeah, she finds men who watch football sexy, but not men who play football.
See, that's the, it's the other way around.
I just don't want to, or men that play it. That's, you know, but I just don't want to have to sit there through like hours of it and, you know, I can only eat so many buffalo wings.
Right.
Which are a lot, but still.
Yeah.
You know, I just
we tailgate every Sunday. My 7-year-old daughter is a huge Rams fan.
Really? Actually. Well, just lucked in. But yeah, no, I wanted to dance and sing and twirl, and that just wasn't flying in little town Texas. And they're like, football. our high school team like never won one damn game, but like all the money went to the football team.
Well, I can't speak for Texas, but I do know out here you can pursue the theater and like football simultaneously.
It's different here though. Today, this area is just, there's so many different, you know, interests and there's so many different venues and avenues to kind of pursue that. I think when you're in you don't understand, Texas takes it to a different level. I mean, you know about their college football, their high school. It is ridiculous. No, it is like the First Baptist Church or football. That's it. You know what
As
I mean?
Opposed to L.A., who's got no fucking football team, and we haven't had one in a while. And it's embarrassing, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. There is rumor of one coming back, though.
Really?
At least that's what my contacts at the NFL Network are telling me behind closed doors.
Yeah.
I don't know how closed those doors are.
Are they bringing the Raiders back or what?
No, the Raiders I don't think are coming back while Al Davis is alive. I mean, I think he felt like the city of Los Angeles gave him the finger, so he gave it right back to us.
Yeah.
But there's a guy, you know, who will just do whatever the fuck he wants. And there's something respectable about it, actually.
Right.
You know, he's not going to bow down to anybody.
So what was the story behind this? Because, you know, again, I don't know sports. So we had the L.A. Raiders, I'm assuming, and what happened?
We had the Raiders and we had the Rams, and they both moved.
Right.
Why? Bad business climate?
Well, I think the Raiders moved primarily because the city was giving them a hard time about upgrading their stadium.
Right, yeah.
And they couldn't move in the luxury boxes, which is where the big money is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they moved here, they were pretty excited. I remember I was excited because they were a great team at the time.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, they were winning, and they were a great team, you know, so it was a great addition to L.A. The Rams weren't doing that well, and then they moved. To where they moved? To St. Louis?
They moved to St. Louis.
Right.
And the Cardinals had moved out to, obviously, Arizona.
Right.
And the Rams started.
Yeah. You know, I remember even the Rams had good times at the time.
I'm getting text messages from people listening saying no one cares in L.A. about football. What do you say to that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in L.A.
Because we don't have a team. I think if we did, we'd get behind them.
Who's giving you those text messages? I want to talk to that person.
Don't call in. Call in.
No, don't call in because we got to call out.
Okay, don't call in.
If that person wants to give me shit, they can do it on my show later.
Okay. So we're going to call him instead of him calling us?
Is that okay?
Yeah, but you don't want to give out his number.
No, I've got it. Here, no, I don't, he's got enough people calling him. I think this is it up top here.
No, is he a good looking guy? What's his deal?
You know, that's one of those things you're gonna have to evaluate yourself.
Okay, you're too manly to say if a guy's good looking.
No,
or not.
I mean, I wouldn't. You know,
so he's not good looking is what you're saying?
No.
He's got
I'm
a jacked up grill.
He doesn't have a jacked up grill.
Has he got a limp?
No.
He stutters. What's the deal?
Look, man, ask him out yourself.
I'm not asking him out. I'm asking your opinion of him.
No, I think my opinion of him is quite high. Obviously, I wouldn't be friends with him. I think he's a.
How long have you known him?
A while, long time.
Really?
Long time, yeah. He's a California native.
Right. So it's Derek Ward, right?
Yeah.
You said?
Derek Ward. And he's a California native, as am I, and we both care about football here. So there's at least two of us.
Well, good for you guys. Somebody's got to give you some shit, though, so deal with it.
Yeah. So we're calling. You better introduce us to him.
I will.
Okay? Because he doesn't know who the hell we are.
Now, he has some idea.
Hello?
He's a sharp guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Derek Ward, please.
This is
PhD in... Running back hipness. This is Ethan with Sam in the Morning. How are you?
Yes. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. We understand you're in out of town right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Houston, Texas.
Cool. Kira's from Houston.
How you doing, Derek?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Are you sweating like crazy out there?
You know what? Actually, it is pouring down, raining. And thundering, and it's looking kind of crazy outside, but it's nice.
Your first day off from on the Texans, and it's raining on you.
Yeah.
yeah, it's pouring down raining.
Derek, I gave these guys a little bit of an update on your background. I told them basically that you had won a Super Bowl with the Giants, gone to the Buccaneers, moved on to the Texans. But what qualifies you as sort of a fascinating topic for this radio show is the future. And you being you having a book coming out and an offer to do a radio show, as well as you know, some of the other things that you're putting in place, like a production company. But we were talking a little bit before we got you on the line that, you know, your book is on your life, and your life is so interesting from the start where you witness the, you know, the Reginald Denning beating during the riots, making it, like, working as a PA for friends, giving up football, then going back to football, joining the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's amazing. What college did you go to?
I went to Fresno State. In Fresno, California, and then I transferred to a small school in Kansas called Ottawa University.
Really?
And I finished up there, in 2003.
So,
So
did you play college football as well?
Yeah, I played college football.
Oh.
At both places.
Wow. That's amazing they discovered you at rather small schools, huh?
Yeah, I was at a small school. It was about I think a total enrollment of 1,000 people.
Wow.
it was really, really small.
Yeah.
On top of the city of Ottawa, it was pretty small as well. I think like 10,000 people lived there. So it was an eye opener.
But when
you
got ability mixed with heart, you'll find your way into the mix at some point.
Right.
Exactly.
Funny little side story. I mean, Derek can tell you Super Bowl stories or NFL stories all day long, but he was, when I started off in the Warner Brothers mailroom as a messenger, he was the PA for the show Friends.
Really?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I spent a year there at Warner Brothers doing, you know, pilots, and then I got an offer from Friends to be a PA, so I did that for several episodes, and it was a good learning experience for me.
Yeah, that's cool. So you've been dabbling in entertainment as well as sports.
Well, that's a gracious way to put it, because the reality is he told me once privately, he said, you know what, after working on Friends, it's much easier getting tackled by 300-pound defensive linemen in the NFL every Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he'll go to the NFL where there's less attitude than there is on the soundstage where they shot Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get into the NFL? I mean, what's the short version of it?
It was pretty, you know, you go through the process of getting drafted and then you know, working out and getting drafted, and once I got drafted to the Jets, you know, it's all about trying to make the team. You know, they bring in like 80 guys, and then they got to cut it all the way down to 53 people. And then, you know, if you survive that, then you make the team.
Yes.
I got injured my rookie year. So they have an 8-man exemption where they put 8 people on practice squad to just practice and be like a practice body. So I did that for a few games, and then I was able to get picked up by the New York Giants. And, you know, they gave me my first opportunity to succeed in the NFL, and you know, I'm here where I'm at today because of that.
Right.
So on a very Derek, quickly on a very technical football question, I see a picture of you with Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, wow.
Did you guys date? What's the scoop?
No, we didn't date. We're just real good friends. You know, the whole Kardashian family, they're good friends of mine, and you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, being in LA, being from LA and being in LA, you know, you can just have a lunch with somebody semi-famous, and then it'll be in the magazine.
Then you're gonna come on a radio show and I'm gonna ask you questions.
Yeah, they're already getting married and having kids.
She's already married to somebody.
Exactly.
I just wanted to know some backstory there. Now, are you excited about moving forward with the Texans? Are you gonna obviously relocate to Houston or no?
Yeah. I've already relocated to Houston. I'm here now, and you know, it's an exciting opportunity for me to showcase my abilities and you know, get on the right track and hopefully have a great year and get back to the Super Bowl. But it's a great city, great town, and I'm just excited.
Right. So how long have you been playing professionally now?
7 years now.
7 years, wow. So you still got a few good years in you.
What's that?
I said you still got a few good years in you to play football.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping to, you know, if my outside endeavors come about, then, you know, I'm going to take a real strong look at that. And, you know, I have a lot of things going on right now as far as, you know, my book and, you know, trying to put together a production company and, you know, doing some other projects. So hopefully I can, you know, start getting that going and see where that goes.
Well, as I said earlier, before I think we got you on the phone, Derek, you're one of the few NFL high-profile stars that can successfully that has what it takes to actually successfully make the transition into entertainment. Not so many do. I mean, they might be able to pull off the Wheaties commercial or the Gatorade commercial, but there's very few people that have both the personality and the mindset. I mean, this guy's a running back for the Houstons. Not only does he have a high-profile charity, but he's also putting, you know, his autobiography in place, his production company in place. Very, very fascinating personality. And he's in the locker room now. He's calling you from the Houston's facility.
Exactly.
So you guys are, I mean, when does the season start? Almost, it's starting now, right?
Yeah, it starts Sunday.
Sunday. Wow.
Our first day.
Yeah. So are you ready to play? You're healthy and everything?
Yeah, healthy, ready to play. And I'm just getting ready to play the Colts.
Right.
Now, Derek, do you what about, like, you know, breaking into a new team and the teammates and the different players? Is there, like, kind of an initiation or, like, a warm-up phase? Or how does that work as far as kind of being integrated into the team spirit?
Well, you know, I mean, if I were a rookie, it would be like an initiation thing, but I'm not. I'm 7 years in, so I know how to I know how to integrate myself into a new team. I mean, I did it last year with Tampa and now with Houston. So it's just me being able to come in and fitting in well with my new teammates. And I think I'll have the opportunity to do that. And, you know, it's just all about us getting to know each other. And, you know, that's just how it goes pretty much.
And you'll be seeing, will we be seeing you have play time in this season? Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Well,
of course.
Hopefully
that's why
Sunday.
Yeah.
So nobody gave you a bad haircut when you checked into the facility, huh, Derek?
Oh, no.
What about Leinart? Did anyone give Leinart a bad haircut when he got picked up?
No. You know, I just met him today, and he came in today, and, you know, we're veterans, so they don't do that to the vets. They'll do that for a rookie that just got drafted or something, but they don't do that to the vets.
Yeah, you, like, step off, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like one of the oldest guys on the team. So
there you go. Just tell him you knock him out. Yeah.
So I mean, do you feel your team is in a position to win the Super Bowl this year? I mean, I know you probably wouldn't say no, but how do you feel about it?
No, I feel we have a great team. You know, we have a lot of young guys on defense that are, you know, some Pro Bowlers. We have Brian Cushing. He was a defensive rookie of the year last year, made the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. We have a middle linebacker, DeMarco Ryan. He made the Pro Bowl. And Mario Williams made the Pro Bowl. So we have a lot of guys in defense. And defense sets the foundation for championships in the NFL. If you have a great defense, you're pretty likely to win a Super Bowl. So, and then we have a lot of weapons on offense. So, it's going to be an exciting year for us. You know, the expectations are high here, and just going to be ready to go and have some fun.
Some would say great defense mixed with very effective running game, which is probably why they brought you in.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you were on the when you were on the Giants, you were probably the only ones that expected to go to the Super Bowl and win it. So it doesn't surprise me that you feel the same way in Houston, and it could become a reality.
Exactly. You know, my situation with the Giants, we had a strong, stout running attack, and we also had a great defense. So I see some similarities here in Houston, and, you know, I'm just excited to see what we have on Sunday when we play against the, you know, Indianapolis Colts. You know, they, they went to the Super Bowl last year, so, and they're in our division, so we're just gonna, it's gonna be a nice battle, tough battle first game of the year for us.
A running back, help me out here, because I'm so...
That's a football position.
And he runs.
No, but I'm asking, it's not like a huge dude. He's not like a linebacker, right?
Right,
he's
got to
have speed. So I guess my question...
He's good size.
No,
he's got speed, but he's
but
good
Derek,
size.
But Derek, I mean, like, if you're, let's say you're not the biggest dude because you got to run. You got to hustle. So what happens when these thousand-ton dudes come flying at you? Have you taken... I'm sure you've taken some hits. I mean, what does that feel like?
Well, I'm not a small guy. I'm 6'2", 230, so
okay.
I mean, I can handle my own, but it doesn't feel good. Let me tell you that.
Really?
You know, getting hit by a 350-pound defensive lineman, and that doesn't feel good at all. But
every time it gets him down, he just thinks of those assholes that on Friends, and goes,
exactly.
"He's too classy to say that." But I know how they were. You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, I could be getting coffee for Matt Perry right now.
Now, Derek, do you have any lady friends? Are you married? Are you engaged? Or you got?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm engaged. My fiance, she's in LA right now. Oh, actually, she's in Tampa right now, looking after her house, and then she'll be joining me here in Houston tomorrow.
Well, so, congratulations!
Yeah.
When's the? Have you guys set a date?
Yeah, we have March 27th of next year.
Oh, okay.
So, 2011. So,
that's cool. Congratulations.
A few months ago.
She just got deflated. She's just so bummed right now.
I can't. I'm like, oh.
She just looks so
You had me dejected. At 6'2 and 230. That can handle his own.
Hey,
I was like, can you handle a couple? I'm just playing.
Something else about this guy, despite his industrious move into, you know, he's on the fast track to become a producer in this town. But despite all that, he's actually got a pretty effective charity, and he's going to want to spotlight it because that's in his name.
Yeah, go ahead.
We should definitely give him a minute to talk about it.
Yeah, the name of my charity is 34 Ways, and it just helps. It's about helping inner city kids, you know, become better at what they do. You know, not necessarily kids nowadays, they want to be, you know, NFL player, NBA player, Major League Baseball, et cetera. But what they don't realize is only 1-2% of those kids actually make it to that spot of being a professional athlete. So with my charity, I want to be able to help kids, you know, not, you know, totally throw away their dreams of becoming a professional athlete, but making sure they have a backup plan because, I mean, I'm a living example. You know, although I've made it, I knew that if football wasn't in my life, I'd have something else to do. And that's what I want to get these kids to understand that, you know, although, you know, you have dreams and aspirations of becoming a professional athlete, you have to have a backup plan, a contingency plan on, you know, what you want to do with your life.
Right.
So, that's just some of the things that we're going to teach them.
Well, that's cool. So where can people go to find out more about it?
You could go to 34ways.com, mm-hmm. rdward34.com.
Okay.
And check it out. And, you know,
cool.
If people have any questions, they can call my people that runs my website. Their number and information is also on my website.
Sounds good. And when is the book scheduled to come out?
We're trying to get that thing out by next Christmas. He's got a writer on it who's fantastic, actually. Well credentialed writer. And they're trying to knock this thing out by Christmas. It's actually a fascinating story. We don't want to tell you too much because then you won't buy it, Sam.
We will buy it. You have to tease us a little bit.
I guarantee you will love it.
Yeah.
So it'll be a number one seller.
I can imagine. I mean, you have an inspiring story, and I'm sure a lot of people would like to follow that. And Super Bowl winner and everything, you know, you must feel pretty good at this point in your life.
In addition to all that, if you don't have this guy on your fantasy team, you are just a complete douchebag.
Exactly.
Complete douche. All right. Well, Derek, thank you so much for taking
thank
the time,
you.
Man.
And, oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
We know you're busy and everything. And good luck to you guys Sunday and the rest of the season.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'd like to be able to say that, you know, hey, you know, we spoke to another Super Bowl winner. from this year.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. No pressure. You have nothing to prove.
Yeah, no pressure at all. But
No pressure.
All right.
Thank you.
How did you guys meet, by the way,
all right.
Ethan?
Oh, this guy's
fantastic. Hold on just a second.
Everyone knows Derek. If you don't know Derek, who are
No, everybody knows Derek, but how did you...
No, we met through the business.
We have a mutual friend through business.
And he's quite proactive in what he wants to do, and we respond well to that. And, I mean, the guy is just hyper-aggressive in all the right directions. So not just... We also respect the fact that he's got this charity going, but not just with what football does, because we know plenty of pro athletes, but...
Right.
His ambitions in the entertainment industry, which is where we work, are just 100% on target, and the guy's got a lot of skills, so well worth knowing. And, Derek, I'm going to drop you a line later, buddy.
Okay, good.
Derek Ward,
thanks
thank you so much.
Here.
Of course,
Bye,
thank you.
Good.
Have a great day.
Remember to,
All right.
Stretch.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Remember to stretch.
So let's talk about tampons or Sex and City or something. That's just way too much.
That was too much testosterone for him.
I can't do too much football talk, y'all.
Not when he's getting married in March, right?
I can't.
All of a sudden, you can't even fake it.
She lost all the interest.
No, not even just that. It's too much guy talk. I get bored quick. I'm like, okay.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
Even though I'm sure, like, everybody that's a man would love to have, or anybody that's in football probably is like, damn, that guy's awesome.
Okay. Well, he is awesome. And since I regard myself as a pretty weak guest, I mean, we had to do something.
No.
We had to do something this morning. And so why don't we move in a guy who's got some very, very strong charity ties, good direction in entertainment. And he's a pretty interesting guy. You know, that book is going to kick ass, I think. Do you know what it is to exercise?
I do every day. Yeah, I run. I run.
And you have some idea, afterwards.
I run 5 miles, my friend.
You run 5 miles every day?
Not every day, but I do it a few times a week. And then I ran the
LA. Do you run in those barefoot style shoes?
I know what you're talking about. The one where that goes in between. No, that's actually for short runs, is to build up the muscle in the foot. But you should not do long runs in that. So maybe like 2 or 3 miles in that. Mm-hmm. Some people hike in them. I don't think it's that great of a deal. Basically, if we're going to go down the route, basically there's a concept that because of the way, we run in the West and the shoes are so kind of insulated and stuff, that the muscles in the feet get weak and the ankles, and that they've created these shoes now that kind of give you more flexibility, and they kind of, basically build up the muscles in your
feet. Are you an avid runner? Like, you run?
Yeah, no, I did the LA Marathon.
Sweet.
Yeah.
When did you do that? When was that?
It was last year.
3/4 of it, right?
Yeah. I jumped in.
I was going to say, you're not the woman who jumps in a quarter from the...
No, and then tries to win. No. I jumped in at the...
What number is 67?
Yeah, no. I did not pay to do it. It was the night before I decided to do it. And it was already sold out. I don't know if you knew about it, but it was way sold out. So anyway, I jumped in at the 9th mile, so that left me with 17 miles. So I did 17 miles.
Did you? You ran 17 miles?
And I was running. Huh? I was running with out a thing on, like a number. So I was looking over my shoulder like I was running, driving without insurance. I thought I was going to get tossed.
I mean,
but nobody cared.
Would they toss you if you jumped?
No, there was 100,000 people or something like that. I mean, it was just packed. But it was amazing. So I'm going to do it next year again. The full thing.
Are you going to be a legitimate contestant next year?
You're
just going to jump in. Yeah,
I'm
going to
be legitimate.
So the training's on.
Yeah, you go.
It's not till I think March or April. So yeah.
All right, that's impressive.
Yeah. Do you run?
No.
No, huh? I know, I hate running.
No, not unless there's something wrong.
Yeah, there's something at the end of the track.
There's something a little off.
No, I'll swim or I'll do a lot of jiu-jitsu or judo and get my cardio that way, but not really any running.
Yeah. I find that a lot of guys like to just lift weights. They don't want to do any cardio. They don't want to break a sweat. They're like, I'm just gonna go lift some more weights.
Yeah. No, yeah. I worked out, I used to do the cardio. In fact, I did aerobics classes at the time. It was pretty popular.
Well, I think that's awesome for your health.
Yeah.
Personally.
It really is, I can't get into it anymore, man. It's just too hard.
We're all professionals. It's tough to carve out the time. You have a problem with men today, I'm sensing.
Me?
Or is it every day and I'm just not here to see it? I don't know.
I have a problem with you.
Well, that's most people.
Do they really?
Yeah, you are.
Nuh-uh.
You're not in a minority there.
What? You must cause problems.
A closet man-hating lesbo.
Do I really look like a man-hating lesbo?
What do you do?
I said, do I look like I cause problems?
No, I'm asking you, do you? Because you're saying people don't like you.
Well, I mean, you don't.
People don't like you.
I don't like you. If we want to have good radio, I'll go with I don't like you and we'll get in a fight for fun. But I don't really know you enough to
know. Fight with.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really that threatened. But second of all, you just don't seem like a mean dude.
I'm not a mean dude.
Yeah, no, you're a very sweet man.
He seems like a benevolent guy.
I mean, I could try to play mean for radio purposes.
I think you could probably play mean, though. You can get all, like, Disney up in here. Remember when you threw out the dude, the valet
guy?
Well,
that's a different set of circumstances.
No, I just, I'm really just not a sports fan.
Yeah.
I find it like nails
that's
and chalkboard.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm not a sports fan either. I used to be a lot into football, you know, in the 80s. And no, actually the late 70s, you know, with Roger Staubach and
Terry
Bradshaw.
When you were about 4 years old.
Yeah, no, I was in my teens, actually. But yeah, that's when I discovered football. So yeah.
Here's something I'll say, too. I'm an advocate for men on a very big level in Los Angeles because, contrary to your little statement, I think that there's a lot
of... That's such a demeaning way to put what I say.
Well, too late. Listen, there's a lot of emasculinity. A lot of men have become very emasculated in this town, and they've become very, not just effeminate, but a passive in their masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually hugely a fan of masculine men and an advocate for men kind of, you know, being in that position in that role.
Right.
Whereas I think that, you know, that kind of, like, passive man thing, I'm not into at all.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you're into real men.
You know, LA kind of like, it's more of like they want to be adored, that it's a vanity. There's kind of a little bit of a, they want to play or be eternally like, you know, Peter Pan. They don't really want to be in the leadership role or responsible role as a man.
Well, as far as the Peter Pan analogy goes, I think you might be hanging out at the wrong part of town.
How long have you lived here?
My whole life. I was born in Van Nuys.
Okay. You've been around. You know what I'm talking about then.
Regrettably, I've been around, yeah.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about. It's not really...
No, I don't really see that. I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but maybe that's just...
It's not everybody.
Because you see, we don't date men, so we don't know. She dates them, so she knows
that's
better.
Probably it. You probably have a different insight than we have.
Right.
Well, I don't think it's... clearly, it's on everybody. But, I mean, there's kind of a different... I guess coming from the South and coming from Texas and you move out here, you see a lot of more of like...
The last guy you dated, he wanted to just kind of sit at home and be adored, you're saying.
A what?
You should be adored. That's the term you
use. Adored. Well, I find that when you're with artists or of any kind, they're very much into their art, whether it's music or comedy or their movies or whatever it is they're doing. And I think what happens is they're constantly creating and constantly doing that, and they're really talented and really cool people, but they don't necessarily want to be like a man to a woman. I mean, generally speaking, in that realm. Now, if you're kind of outside of that creative part of being like an artist and maybe on the peripheral, I think there's more of that masculinity. But I think in that world of the industry, it's just different, you know. I mean, I've lived in West Hollywood, I've lived in Hollywood, I've lived in Van Nuys, I've lived in Studio City. I don't know, that's the tone that I feel out here. And I know that a lot of women kind of see that as well.
Okay, if you say so.
So all that to say is that, you know, I like men.
Yeah. Well, you got a couple of manly men in here, so shut up.
I'm not shutting up, no. I'm not on the radio to shut up.
So, Ethan, the other night you guys invited us to Samba's, and that was an amazing place. You know?
Isn't it?
It really is cool. You know, it's a Brazilian restaurant. A steakhouse, right?
Yes.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's a steakhouse that turns into a nightclub at midnight. And actually, right. The Samba dancers I met, I just saw them all. What was it? Monday, just recently, like a day or two ago.
Right.
They were all wondering when you were coming back.
Yeah, right. Like they fucking remember me.
Oh, believe me. Sam, you make quite the impression, buddy. I said, this is the owner of LA Talk Radio here. Here's to Sam in the morning.
Yeah, so they're like suddenly, oh, yeah. No, I don't believe it for one bit.
No, that's true, though.
For one minute.
We were there until about like 1 or 2 in the morning the other night.
Yeah, I just enjoy taking pictures with them, man. They're so skinny and great bodies and stuff. You know, it was cool.
Well, actually, we've got a red carpet event there. We've got a combat radio night Friday, October 1st, starting at 7 o'clock, that I'm hoping you and the station... Yeah. Will collaborate with me on, and it's for the Children's Hospital.
Right.
An all-star entertainment lineup. It's a celebrity-driven event, actually, that my production company is getting behind. Along
yeah,
with,
and you know that Kira's going to be there, because if there's a party,
I'm gonna,
she's
I'm gonna
there.
I'm going to come and hate men.
Yeah, she's going to put us all down.
Yeah, right.
Tell
I
us
am the life
all.
Of the party.
Oh.
she loves men. She just doesn't make love to them, that's all.
Well, that's something I don't know. too much about being a guest here only once in a while. I don't.
We don't need to go down that road.
Okay.
He always brings it up, especially if there's a new guest. He's like, hey, by the way. And I'm like, the poor audience is like tired of this conversation.
Well, that event is actually October 1 for the Children's Hospital. So I hope to see you guys if nothing, if we can't collaborate on it in other ways.
No, why not? I mean, you know, whatever it takes, you know. So it is soon, though, huh?
Yeah.
October 1st.
It seems like a great event. Oh, I'm working with it with Universal Studios and Universal Music, where my offices are going, and they've been pretty supportive, and their publicists are very supportive. And I'm in actually the final round of talks with a real high profile group. There's some great entertainment already lined up, but we're trying to put the finishing touches on the roster. And it just seemed like a good place and a good time to do something, do more of a station event than just a combat radio event, because obviously we're part of a station and a great station. And, you know, you can only, I guess I can talk about myself on and on, but, you know, I was going to say, you can only talk about yourself so much. That's not really true, but, it just seemed like a better opportunity to commend the station and what the station has done in terms of putting together interesting personalities, of which there are many.
Right, right. Definitely. I mean, Kira is a roomful, you know.
Yeah, I mean, also these other shows are just so, I mean, some of these other shows are just really fascinating.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Especially ours, right, Kira?
Our show is just, our intro music says it all. It's like, da, 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 da. It sounds like CNN, like breaking news. But we don't ever know what's going on. So no, don't get your news here.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. We don't bring you news here.
Unless it's me coming in late with a traffic report.
Yeah.
That's good.
Did you hear that LA police discovered mummified babies?
What?
Yeah. Like wrapped up in a 1930s newspaper.
You are kidding me.
No. In the basement of a Los Angeles apartment building.
Which one? Which building was it?
Let's find out, man.
Wow.
But who knows how they mummified, and they don't even know when they died and how. You know, but I guess the coroner is doing an autopsy on them, and we'll see what happens. But I mean, this is like weird, you know.
That strikes me as real tragic.
Yeah, I mean, how the hell can people do this shit? You know, how can people?
They had a little time on their hands, you know. Yeah. What does it take in this town for people to go crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I get queasy just seeing a little bit of blood, you know, or like a needle going into the flesh, and then these people are like, you
wouldn't have made a good drug addict. Huh?
No, I wouldn't. No.
Yeah, you wouldn't be good with a period.
Yeah. So let's talk for a couple of minutes. We only have a few minutes left about your show. For those who don't know, Ethan does a show here on the station called Combat Radio, and that's on Thursdays from 12 to 2. And you guys get some cool guests.
Yeah, we've been really privileged. I think it's because they use us as a chance to get on your show.
I see. That's what it is. A stepping stone.
We make them have to go through us. but just recently, you know, we've had the members of Guns N' Roses on. We've had John Lovitz was on last week. The cast of Hellboy, the members of Iron Maiden. Mm-hmm. Actually, a lot of real cool surprises coming up. I never know how it's going to work out until the day. I'm sure you have some of the same problems, because there's a lot that has to be wired up for a show to work. But, it's been pretty good. It's been a fun time. So, yeah. I mean, it's a privilege to do it, of course.
Yeah. And it's a pretty exciting show. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of followers, and they make themselves known on Facebook and everything, you know, so.
Well, I can't condone any of that.
You guys have like 10,000 friggin' fans, man. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's something.
How do you
accomplish
that?
I think they all think it's a... but I don't know where that comes from. I'm still trying to find an explanation as to why that is.
Yeah. So now you guys have like a few models that do like stuff for combat in effect?
Well, I also own a clothing line that benefits wounded combat veterans, and through that we work with a lot of fashion.
Yeah, models and things
they've
like
actually
that.
Become quite supportive.
They have.
My primary focus is on the entertainment side. I own Arsenal Productions and Management. That's what's going into Universal after a few years at Warner Brothers.
Right.
And, you know, we collaborate and we try to do things, you know, that work for all involved. And sometimes, you know, the models will everyone's in the mix.
Yeah. Now, you use, like, the word combat and arsenal and stuff. Did you used to be in the military?
No.
I never asked you that.
No, I wasn't. I actually started this clothing line because a friend of mine came back from Iraq and he was burned over 70% of his body.
Wow.
And he only got a $30,000 government stipend, which was gone inside of a year, and he couldn't get a job because of his disfigurement.
Really?
And I figured, and I know we're pressed for time, but I figured, you know, he was probably one in several thousand.
Wow.
veterans. And although I'm not like, I'm not a, you know, diehard military guy, I'm not even a Republican, but it seemed like,
you could relate to it.
It seemed like something had to be done. It just seemed like there wasn't the budget to help these guys. And that's how I got into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Not because of my own history.
I know, that's sad commentary, you know, when people go and they fight for the country and then they come back and nobody cares, you know, mm-hmm. And that, I mean, it's just a very sad thing, you know, and I wish I don't think there's enough, like, education about, you know, appreciating and admiring our troops and what they do for us.
I don't think so either. And in fact, I don't think they're actually, utilized properly. To be honest with you, most of the time. And I don't think, you know, I think once they do the job, they're largely forgotten about, as we all know.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well. We're almost out of time. I wanted to remind all of you, if you're into UFOs and aliens, have you heard of Whitley Strieber at all?
Yeah, I have. The author.
Yeah, the author. He's written a lot of stuff. He supposedly was taken by aliens and things like that, but he's like a big man in this kind of stuff.
There was a movie about it, and Christopher Walken played him.
Really?
Yeah, called Communion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Communion is one of his books, I think. But at any rate, if you guys want to listen to his interview, then switch over to Channel 2. It's starting in 10 minutes.
Awesome.
And on the show Extract Radio with X. And he won't reveal who he is, but he is X nevertheless. But it should be a pretty exciting show. So go ahead and switch over to Channel 2. And... Ethan, thank you so much for joining
us
again, man.
Ethan.
We always love having you, and you're a cool guy.
Ah.
And you even gave me a Combat in Effect t-shirt that I wear, but never when you come in here. I don't know why. I never think about it, but I'll have to wear it when you come in.
It's all right.
Some support. Right. Wear his clothes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so everybody, listen to Combat Radio Thursdays at 12 on Channel 2. And Kira, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Sam.
Love having you as always.
Love you having me too.
Shut up. Everybody, thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.